Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Lemon Tree Hotels Limited earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Anoop Poojari from CDR India. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining us on Lemon Tree Hotels Q1 FY27 earnings conference call. We have with us Mr. Patanjali Keswani, Executive Chairman, Lemon Tree Hotels; Mr. Nilendra Singh, Managing Director, Lemon Tree Hotels; Mr. Kapil Sharma, Executive Director and CFO of Lemon Tree Hotels; Mr. Saurabh Sattudal, Managing Director and CEO of Fleur Hotels; and Mr. Mayank Sharma, CFO of Fleur Hotels. We'd like to begin the call with opening remarks from the management, following which we have the forum open for an interactive question-and-answer session. Before we start, I would like to point out that some statements made in today's call may be forward-looking in nature, and a disclaimer to this effect has been included in the earnings presentation that was shared with you earlier. I would now request Mr. Keswani to make his opening remarks.
Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining us. Today, Neil, Managing Director of Lemon Tree Hotels, will be covering the business highlights and financial performance for Q1 27, post which Saurabh, MD and CEO of Fleur, will brief you on Fleur's business development. And lastly, I will share an update on the pro forma financials for Lemon Tree Hotels Limited and Fleur Hotels Limited upon the demerger scheme becoming effective. And of course, post that, we will open the forum for your questions and suggestions. Neil?
Great. Hi, this is Neil. Let me take you through the key highlights of the quarter. For the quarter, total revenue stood at 346.8 crores, up 9% year-on-year. Net EBITDA stood at 151.9 crores, up 7%. Net EBITDA adjusted for GST impact and provision for stock appreciation rights stood at rupees 162.5 crores in Q1 FY27, up 14% as compared to 142.1 crore in Q1 FY26. PAT grew 19% to 57.3 crores, and cash profit grew 17% to 96 crores. Our gross ARR stood at rupees 6,361, up 2% year-on-year, and occupancy was 75.7, up 314 basis points versus last year. Our net EBITDA margin for Q1 FY27 stood at 43.8, which was 99 basis points less than 44.8, which we achieved last year in Q1 FY26. This drop was due to provision for stock appreciation rights and the loss of input credit in the GST levied, which increased our expenses by 3.5% of total revenue in Q1 this year versus zero in the previous year, same quarter. Our gross debt on 30th June 2026 stood at 1,475 crores, down 11% from 1,657.9 crores a year ago, and our cost of debt reduced to 7.48%, down 53 basis points versus a year ago. In Q1 FY27, on the asset light side, we opened six managed and franchise hotels with 334 rooms, which we had signed on an average 30 months ago ballpark. In this quarter, we also signed 13 managed and franchise hotels with 1,020 rooms, which is over 3x of the inventory that we opened. Our combined operational and pipeline inventory now stands at 23,381 rooms across 279 hotels in 170 plus cities, of which 135 hotels, which is 11,946 rooms across 80 plus cities, are already operational. Network revenue for the quarter grew at 16% year-on-year to 576 crores, with owned hotels contributing 320 crores and managed and franchise hotels contributing 256 crores. So owned hotels contributed 56% of the network revenue in this quarter. Fee income from management and franchise contracts from third-party owned hotels stood at 22.8 crores in Q1 this year, an increase of 42% year-on-year. Fee from Fleur hotels stood at 22.6 crores, at 6%, up 6% year-on-year. Total management fee from Lemon Tree stood at 45.4 crores, an increase of 21% year-on-year. Now I hand over to Saurabh for an update from Flo.
Thank you, Neil. Thank you, everyone, for joining us on the call. Let me give you a quick update on our hotels under development. At Aurika Shimla, our own 90-room hotel, we have deployed approximately 108 crores of capital as on 30th June 2026. Finishing work and operational licenses are in final stage, and we expect the hotel to open shortly. At Aurika Shillong, a leased 165-room hotel, we have deployed approximately 33 crores as on 30th June 2026, with the expected opening in H2 FY28. At Aurika Varanasi, a 47-room leased heritage hotel, we have begun the work and with an expected opening in FY29. At Aurika Nehru Place, Delhi, final approvals are pending from the authorities, with expected capital deployment to be announced in due course and an expected opening on or after FY2030. Recently, an extension of validity of letter of award for another year was received by Flair from DDA, providing ample time for the project to attain all approvals. We have renovated 300 rooms this quarter, for which we have spent approximately 10 crores, and we anticipate a similar number in the next coming quarter. As for the keys portfolio, renovation was two-thirds complete as on 30th June 2026, and the portfolio is showing significantly improved performance with a double-digit growth across all locations. Keys portfolio RevPAR in Q1 FY27 was up 19% year-on-year to 2,885 rupees on the back of a 350 basis point improvement in occupancy to 67% and 13% growth in average room rate to 3808. On the pipeline side, we continue to evaluate a growing number of opportunities, whether an existing operating hotel or development of new hotel. Now I hand over the forum back to Patu. Thank you.
Thanks, Saurabh. I want to take this opportunity to continue our conversation on the demerger scheme. Like last quarter, we have again shared pro forma financials for both Lemon Tree and Fleur Hotels as they would appear upon the scheme becoming effective. For Lemon Tree, on a pro forma basis in Q1 2027, revenue stood at 65.7 crores versus 54 crores in Q1 last year, which is up 22%. Net EBITDA before provision for stock appreciation rights was 38.1 crores versus 29.3 crores, and net EBITDA margin improved to 58.1% from 54.2%, up 383 basis points. PBT after share of profit of associates was 46.3 crores versus 38.4 crores, up 21%. PAT was 33.6 crores versus 27.5 crores, up 22%. And cash profit was 40 crores versus 30.5, up 31%. For Fleur, on a pro forma basis, Q1 27 revenue stood at 311.4 crores versus 292 crores, up 7%. Net EBITDA without GST impact was 125.1 crores versus 114 crores, up 10%, with a margin of 40.2%, up 112 basis points from 39.1%. PBT was 46.5 crores versus 35.5 crores, up 31%, and PAT was 34.7 crores versus 28.3 crores, up 23%. Cash profit was 68.4 crores versus 61 crores, up 12%. With this, we come to the end of our opening remarks, and we'll ask the moderator to open the forum for the questions that you may have.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to please use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Our first question is from the line of Archana Gude with IDBI Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for the opportunity. So I have a few questions, starting with the Keys. With 19% RevPAR growth, the Keys is surely outperforming the flagship brands. So does it match with the growth we envisaged before we took the renovation, or there is more to look at it in the upcoming quarters? So that's my first question.
Keys, what we said about a year and a half, 2 years ago when we started the renovation was that we're targeting Keys to achieve Red Fox ARRs, which was, if I remember right, 4,500 rupees, and we are close to that now. However, Keys is still a work in progress. The full renovation, we will be renovating many, many more rooms this year. So we expect that next year Keys will operate to full performance, which means the occupancies will be close to the Lemon Tree average occupancies, and the ARR will continue to improve and will reflect the full performance. Basically, I've said we are targeting a 60 crore EBITDA from Keys, and I think that is something that we will achieve.
And all I will add quickly is that, you know, Keys, we almost 75% of the portfolio is now renovated. The interesting thing is, and we've talked about this in the earlier calls as well, that the hotels that got renovated earlier, aka our Pimpri property, our Whitefield property, are showing results of that renovation. It's a very, very neat, sharp product, and the high quality renovation shows its impact both in occupancy as well as ARR, and therefore we're not only able to price it better, but also get more rooms filled post renovation, and that today. Visible across the portfolio of seven hotels, and that's why the other portfolio, it could deliver a 19% RevPAR increase over last year.
Right. Just to follow up on this, what would be the operating expenses for Keys renovation this year? I think we'll be completing everything by this year end, right?
So the operating expenses will be depending on which part of the portfolio. So those hotels that are going for a full renovation and a complete upgrade were Keys Pimpri, which cost roughly 11 crores. And then it was Keys Whitefield, which would have cost us about 23 crores. So these are over. Now we are investing in the second level Keys. So we finished Keys Ludhiana. We are now doing Keys Cochin, Keys Trivandrum and Keys Vizag, which will be at about 4 to 5 lakhs a key. So I would say that we would end up, when we finish the full portfolio, the balance spend on 300 rooms would be about 13-14 crores.
Sure. One more question. We have done extremely well in some of the key markets like Delhi, Pune, Hyderabad in terms of occupancy. But at the same time, Mumbai and Gurgaon, we couldn't do that well. So for the markets we did well, was that a few events which led to this kind of growth, or how we should look at it as a sustainable number going forward, and what's your outlook on the Bombay and Gurgaon markets going forward?
Yeah, sure. Thanks, Archana. I think the answer broadly, let me summarize the big impact we had in Q1, which is what most of the hospitality industry, experienced, which is the West Asia conflict. That led to multiple, the biggest effect of that was, of course, lesser inbound traffic and the uncertainty. Now, that had second-order effects. And in our segment, that translated largely towards lesser domestic travel as a second-order effect of less inbound travel. And we saw that corporate demand in most of our high-density CBD locations like Bombay, even Hyderabad and Bangalore, declined. There was lesser travel in, let's say, our segment, our corporate segment. There were lesser hiring, there were lesser relocation, and hence there was pretty clear in the early April that this segment would typically be softer as companies were tightening their belts on travel and T&E expenses and or just traveling less. Therefore, in many cases, was compensated by our retail strategy. So we amped up our our ability to fill our hotels through retail because of the softness in corporate demand. In cities like, and I'm now answering your question, in cities like Delhi and Hyderabad and Bangalore, we could more than compensate the decline in corporate traffic that came through because of the West Asia conflict. In Bombay, we couldn't. And in Gurgaon, we couldn't. And hence, essentially, you would see the softness in Bombay and Gurgaon market, whereas Delhi, Bangalore and Hyderabad continue to do well.
Also, there is still the lag effect of the 2,000 new rooms that have opened in the micro market of Bombay near the airport in the last 2 years, and that supply is still being absorbed. So there is, you know, there were some Novotels and some Radissons and some other brands that opened, and put together there were 2,000 rooms. But Bombay is such a market that when supply injections happen on this scale, there might be a temporary mismatch between supply and demand, but it catches up very rapidly. And I think you'll see that even with us in, you know, in these quarters going forward, the catch up.
Sure. So on this, maybe just last, I'll squeeze one more question. How was the situation in July and first 10 days of August? Some improvement over Q1 in terms of demand?
Absolutely. I think Q1 sounds like everybody caught a little bit of a cold. Q2 is significantly better, and July was great. Good recovery in July, and August continues to be solid as well.
Sure, that was really helpful. Thank you and all the best, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Achal Kumar with HSBC. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for taking my question. The first one on ARR. So ARR in this quarter was up only 2% despite 19% growth in keys. So what's going on? I understand that probably was dropped the rates to boost the occupancy. Is that the strategy we should expect going forward, or are you going to change that strategy and boost the ARR? So just want to understand a bit of flavor on that, please.
Yeah. So sure, Achal, and good to hear you again. You're right. I'm going back to what I said to Archana. When in early April, in fact, as early as March, we could understand that corporate demand, both inbound-led demand and domestic travel, both will be affected. We had to pivot to fill in the rooms through our retail channels. They come at a lesser net ARR in that sense, and hence you would see that when we deploy a more volume retail-based strategy, the occupancy looks so much better in Q1 versus last year, but at the cost of ARR, you're right. So this is, but I would say this is temporarily. This was undertaken largely to react to the ensuing or to the situation that we had in Q1. We back to a more balanced approach in July, August, and that's the way to look at it to be able to drive ARRs higher and maintain our strength in occupancy as well. So temporary, of course, in Q1.
Okay, so you mean from the Q2 onwards, we should expect the change in the strategy, right?
Yes. I would say, okay. I mean, our strategy generally has been to keep our strength on occupancy and drive higher ARR premium. Q1, as you know, was an aberration for all or almost everybody in our segment. And then therefore, in the mid-scale segment, we had to resort to a more volume-based, retail-based strategy. tactical plan rather than continue to drive ARR, which was anyway softer.
Right, fair enough. My second question was around your growth pipeline. So you have given the growth for, you mentioned about the growth pipeline for the next year, but what I'm trying to understand is that have you sort of sketched out your growth in terms of brand-wise? I mean, should we expect the majority of the growth in the higher-end brands, the upper-end brands, or do you expect more to do with the keys, you know? So I just want to understand a bit of a flavor on that so that, you know, we can understand what kind of GST impact you continue to face, please.
Yeah, interesting. So, you know from the pipeline that Saurabh talked about, most of them are Oricas. So we will continue to, at the top end of the business, continue to expand in Oricas and in Lemon Tree in demand dense areas or in key destinations. That doesn't go away, Achal. These are areas where we'll deploy our own capital and build larger destinations. However, as we expand into tier two, tier three India, we will also use Lemon Tree Hotels and Keys brand both the brands to penetrate India deeper. So, on the asset light side, so I would say the approach towards, let's say, expansion is two pronged. One, to continue to let's say use our upper mid scale brands and upper scale brands to penetrate in demand dense areas and use our mid-scale brands, aka Lemon Tree Hotel and Keys portfolio, to penetrate deeper into India.
Okay, fair enough.
Sorry, Achal, this is Saurabh here. Just to add on the capital deployment, last quarter also we had said that we are pursuing rooms of around 2,500 keys. So that pursuit is still on, and we are very hopeful to achieve that in the few quarters ahead. You know, we are very confident on the capital side.
No, I think, okay, if I may speak for both of you, see, we are talking about two absolutely different strategies. One is the asset-light growth of Lemon Tree, which will come from signed hotels which start opening typically 30 months, as Neil mentioned in his opening remarks, from 30 to 36 months from when they are signed. So if you look, as long as the rate of growth of our signings is much more than the rate of growth of openings, it means that what we are really opening is what was signed, say, 2.5 years ago. And what we are going to, what we sign now, we will open 2.5 years later. So that will tell you the rate of acceleration of our asset-light site managed fee business. Now, if you overlay that with the fact that Fleur is now growing fairly aggressively, and we will have, I'm pretty sure, in the next few months, a bunch of announcements as to the acquisition slash developments we are going to be doing, that will add further fee income to Lemon Tree. And it's the combination of the two that we are looking at from Lemon Tree's perspective as to where it will be in the next year and the years ahead. We have a fairly clear line of sight. If those of you who are interested, look at what we signed in 2023, you will find that we opened it in this year. What we signed in 24 will open starting, in fact, end of this year. And what we sign in 25 will be opened a year after that. So the fee income stream is fairly clearly defined. All we have to overlay on that is within the third-party owned hotels is the quality of the fees. So if it's a tier one city or a metro, then the fees are much higher than those in tier two, and that is higher than those in tier three and so on. So we have a full model on this as it happens. And we have a fairly clear line of sight as to where the fee income of Lemon Tree will be over the next 3 to 4 years, because that's based on the signings that we have as at present. Overlay that with the fees that we will earn from current and future hotels of Fleur, and then you have the aggregate of the two. And that too is an interesting number. And I think over the next, you know, 8 to 12 quarters, you will start seeing an acceleration in the fee income of Lemon Tree.
Right, fair enough. My final question is around the sort of a strategy, of course, you know, in terms of debt, in terms of ROCE. So while the picture around the Lemon Tree looks pretty bright, you know, it's an asset-light model, you'll have very healthy margins, very healthy ROCE, and probably the dividends. But on the Fleur side, aren't you worried about if the model is only asset-heavy? So aren't you worried about at some point of time, you know, you will be very debt-heavy and all that? So do you think you're comfortable with that, or do you think at some point of time Fleur could also change the model and could think about doing some asset-light? Any color on that, please?
Yeah, sure. See, the very purpose of separating the two is to have two different kinds of companies with two different mandates and two different risk-return profiles. Fleur is a company that will be only focused on asset creation, whether it is through development or through acquisitions. The only asset-light side of Fleur's business, if we are using the word asset-light in an asset-heavy business, is through leases. So when Fleur leases a hotel, think of it very simply as follows. If a hotel today costs 1.5 crores a key, including land, a 200-room hotel costs 300 crores. So the way to look at lease is that we will basically put in maybe 5 to 10% of the capital when we take a hotel, maybe more depending on what the agreement is, but we will typically take 50 to 60% of the EBITDA. So think of it this way, a 300 crore hotel making 35 crores or 40 crores of EBITDA, we invest maybe 40 crores and we would take 20 crores of EBITDA, of which part would go as fees to Lemon Tree and the balance would remain with Fleur. So that is the only asset light side of Fleur. However, Fleur's return on capital is fairly meaningful even today. If I look at FY 2026, Fleur did, after all fees, a net EBITDA of 550 crores on a total capital deployed, if I remember right, of about 4,300 crores. So it was, you know, about 12.5%-13%. And once we finish the Keys renovation, once we finish the entire renovation, our expectation on Fleur is it should move towards a 15% ROCE. Lemon Tree has reported a 58 point some percent EBITDA margin. Lemon Tree's ROCE will be meaningfully higher. I don't want to comment on what the ROCE will be because it is very simple. The capital deployed by Lemon Tree is marginal. It will hardly need any capital going forward other than investments made in brand and in marketing and in generative search and in tech, which is not meaningful. And its fee income will continue to accelerate. You have seen that this quarter, in spite of all the slowdowns, it has still led to, I think we've increased our supply by 15%-16%, but the fee income has grown 42%. So that is very evident that the ROCE of Lemon Tree will become very, very high. And you will see that play out, especially when we have actually given one point of guidance, which is our long-term plan in the next 3 years or 4 years, is to have an EBITDA margin around 75%-80%. And of a much, much, much larger base of hotels, which we are managing and charging fees for. So does that answer your question?
Yeah, that's fine. Absolutely. I have one more, but I'll come back in queue. Thank you.
Sorry, I didn't answer your debt question.
Yeah.
We are very clear. We are broadly looking at debt to EBITDA. See, occasionally, if we are building six big hotels, which is what our plan is, debt may briefly cross two times existing EBITDA. But our long-term plan is that in Fleur, debt to EBITDA should hover around two, and that's a good sign because it means we are able to productively deploy capital. If debt to EBITDA falls below 2:1, you can actually ask a reverse question, which is, why are you not growing? So it's a balanced approach. And right now, our debt is only, I think, about in Fleur is about 1,200 crores or 1,100 crores. The numbers we announced excluded the cash position in Lemon Tree and Fleur, which is about 200 crores. So actually, our debt is 200 crores less than what Neil said. At a group level, it is 1,275 crores. Is that correct, Kapil?
Yeah.
And our EBITDA was 700. So we are in that, in the zone where there is comfort and an ability to deploy meaningful capital. Keep in mind that Warburg has to put in 960 crores, so that too will be deployed in Fleur before we list. And we have, as Saurabh mentioned, a bunch of very exciting opportunities. Some of them are going through, you know, a phase where we will be able to make announcements fairly quickly. And I think just wait for the next 6 months. You may be very pleasantly surprised.
Perfect. Thank you and wish you good luck.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Karan Khanna with Ambit Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. Two questions from my side. Firstly, Patu, and perhaps Saurabh, you could take this as well. Following up on Mumbai performance, a couple of quarters back, you spoke about significant pricing power for Aurika Mumbai in FY 2027, given that the occupancies have stabilized. Obviously, since then, we've had the West Asia crisis. But fundamentally, given the performance for Mumbai this quarter, would you like to bring down the guidance for Mumbai for FY 2027? Will it be single-digit RevPAR this year, or are you confident of double-digit RevPAR here?
See, about Aurika Mumbai, in Mumbai, with the supply addition and whatever has happened, I would still say Q1 was an aberration. Q2 will be better. And as far as RevPAR growth goes, I think we are now kind of feel we have stabilized Aurika, so we will be focusing on the ARR of Aurika. And I think you see what happens currently in Q2, and then we can have this conversation. Because anything I say, it becomes very, you know, very guidance-oriented. But all I can say is we are focusing on pricing now.
Yep.
Sure. In fact, Neil is personally focusing on it. Would you like to give a broad comment on this, Neil?
Yeah. My current height, again, good to speak to you.
I think we all believe that, and you've talked about this in the past calls as well, Karan, that that the Aurika in Mumbai is now a stable brand. It's recognized well, and therefore at the kind of occupancies it delivers, we believe it's good time to be able to now reprice it and price it to the position that Aurika, to the positioning that we want Aurika to have in that sense. So again, without, I mean, the current aberration notwithstanding, we will continue to drive Aurika on the price side, Aurika's pricing a little better than today, and you will see that in the RevPAR improvement going forward for sure.
Sure. And then secondly, Neil, if I look at slide 63 of the presentation, where you're targeting to open 2,000 keys in FY27, Q1 you are at 334 keys. So is there a risk of slippage here in terms of number of openings in FY27, or are you confident about opening all the 2,000 keys during the year?
Yeah, so, okay, good point, Karan. I mean, in this business, there are always a little bit of wash or a slippage here and there. Broadly, I'm pretty confident to be around the 2,000 keys mark, and things happen. But from the pipeline that we have today and the kind of relationships we have with our owners, I feel largely confident unless something large falls on our head. But 2,000 should be okay.
Sure. And then lastly, Saurabh, talking about Fleur, you're considering to invest around 2,000-3,000 crores in probably the peak of an upcycle in Fleur post-demerger. Given that one of the advantages that Lemon Tree has enjoyed in the past has always been to invest in a downturn and wait during an upcycle. So could you help us with how you're thinking about IRRs in this expansion strategy? And on the 960 crores of capital infusion by Warburg, is there an update here on timelines?
So thank you, Karan, for your question. So from a investment timeline perspective, we would deploy given what we get as the best opportunity, given our internal assessment of the ROCE, what we want to go forward with. So there is no hurry. We want to deploy capital at the right strategy, at the right locations, and where we see that our capital deployment gets us the right return. So from an upside investment perspective, we are still focused on markets which have deep demand in the top 6-7 cities in India. That is where we want to chase our opportunities. And the markets which are closer to India, 3 to 5 hour journey from India, where a lot of Indians are still traveling overseas. And we see that also as an upside going forward in the next 2, 3, 5 years, given the size of the economy and growth of the per capita income. So those are two our larger strategies, and some of the leisure locations which are upcoming, like temple tourism or some of the other tourism where Indians are traveling. So these three are focused strategies from an investment. And like Patu said, all would be not just be a pure investment. Some of them would be brownfield. Some of them would be operating asset between 6 to 8 multiples, what we will look at buying. And some would be deep demand greenfield assets. And also for better return, some of them will be long leased buildings which we will take in, either a brownfield or an operating asset or a greenfield. But mix of all these 4-5 strategies with a full focus on the return on capital is what our strategy is, given Warburg is giving us 960 crore and some kind of 200-300 crore of balance sheet money which we currently have.
Let me add, Karan.
Sure.
We are not in an upcycle. The India occupancy is still mid-60s. And I don't know why people say we are in an upcycle. An upcycle is defined when India occupancy is crossed 70-72%. At the rate of growth of our economy, I think we will be in an upcycle next year or the year following. So deployment of capital in demand-dense markets means actually the level of volatility in a demand-dense market, whether it's a down cycle, mid-cycle, up-cycle, is much, much less, because by definition, a demand-dense market is supply-constrained. That's the reason why it's demand-dense. There is more demand than supply. And I'll give you a classic example of this. A demand-dense market is Outer Ring Road, Bangalore. A demand dense market is BKC Bombay. A demand dense market is where we have 1,000 rooms, which is near the airport in Bombay. That in spite of 2,000 rooms coming in, still the occupancy in that market is in the early 70s. So there may be a small, you know, one may say that if we are targeting a ROCE of 60% post fees in a situation of high supply coming in a demand dense market, it means expensive supply has come in, which is why it is, these markets have moats, which are basically cost-led or capital deployed-led. And we are fairly confident, based on our ability to attract customers to our brand, that we will perform well in these markets. And we don't really consider bottom of cycle, middle of cycle, top of cycle. We look at how we are performing and say, look, you know, this is what we think we'll deliver. We know our cost structure. We know the kind of revenues we can generate. And it is on that basis of knowledge that we make capital allocation decisions.
Sure.
And the debt is always taken assuming down cycle conditions for a margin of safety. That's it.
Great. Very helpful, Patu. I'll come back in the queue for follow-ups. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Sameet Sinha with Macquarie. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you very much. So, Patu, picking up on what you're talking about, the management fee, clearly good performance there. You know, I think everyone's waiting for the compounding to start in that business. You know, we saw year-over-year average revenue per room up 12%. You know, for the last three quarters, it was negative. Should we assume that it will stay in this kind of range going forward now on a sustainable, durable basis? I understand that, you know, in your business, it's, you know, suddenly a new batch of rooms, a new batch of cohort of rooms comes in and suddenly that number could go down. But do you think, you know, if you could give us a sense of how that line would compound, then I have a couple of follow-up questions.
See, certainly we are not happy with Q1 performance. We feel we could have done better. But Q2 onwards, we are definitely going to look at double-digit growth numbers, okay? But that is as a company. As far as management fees go, the minute we hit double digits, say, in Fleur, then the management fee from Fleur also hits double digits, and Fleur still accounts for 56% of our network revenue. So if Fleur is growing well, so it's a virtuous cycle. The better Fleur grows, the better our fee income from Fleur grows. Third party is a different ball game. It is growing very rapidly. I think I have said this before that the rate of growth of operational rooms in Fleur, in third party hotels is set to accelerate finally. Because if you just go back in time, 3 years ago we signed 2,000 rooms. You know, 2 years ago we signed 3,500 rooms. Last year we signed nearly 5,000 rooms. So these rooms, this rate of growth of signing translates to openings 3 years out and therefore fee income from those hotels. So as long as the rate of growth of signings is significantly higher than the rate of growth of openings, it's a positive trajectory and a flywheel effect. So that you are going to see very clearly in the next 2 years in Lemon Tree and of course going forward. We are very, very optimistic about it. In fact, I should say confident. And simultaneously, Fleur will now start deploying capital, which will lead ultimately to ROCEs for Fleur and fee income for Lemon Tree. So the sum of the two is quite exciting.
And Sameep, I'll just quickly share some numbers. So between last Q1 and this Q1, we've added 1,300 rooms, and now because last year was from compared to the preceding years was the biggest year in terms of room additions, in terms of signings, this compounding is bound to happen. So I'm repeating what Patu said. As we, till the time we continue to open or sign much more rooms than we open, and both will eventually keep growing anyway, you will start seeing this compounding. The first batch of, let's say, 1,300 rooms which opened in this Q1 or between last Q1 and this one, just make it illustrative, at least in this quarter. You'll see similar trends in next quarter as well.
No, think of it this way, Sameer. We signed 5,000 rooms last year, FY26, and FY29 we'll open, all going well, around 5,000 rooms in Lemon Tree's portfolio of managed hotels. This excludes anything that Fleur may add on. Just to give context, we are currently operating only 12,000 rooms. So just in FY29, or, you know, in that year, 29 going to 30, we'll open 5,000 rooms, which is 45% of our current inventory in managed portfolio.
Right. No, that's excellent. Thanks. I can see the flywheel is about to turn there. Secondly, you know, just talking about, you know, on the margin side, you know, EBITDA margin compressed about 90 basis points. This is better than we expected. I think you're guided to a much bigger decline for the year. How should we think about the progression for the year in light of the fact that second quarter seems to be turning around nicely? You know, what sort of margin should we expect for the full year?
Let me ask you, what do you expect Lemon Tree's net EBITDA to be for FY27?
Okay, I mean, probably give you my numbers, but...
I'm just curious, what is your expectation?
Yeah, I'm looking at my numbers. I'm at, what, 7.5 billion?
No, I'm asking percentage.
Oh, percentage, about 47%.
Okay, it will be well better than that. See, I will repeat to you a very interesting thing. Our EBITDA margins are fundamentally compressed because we have a bunch of expenses which are not normal still playing out. One of them was unanticipated, which was what happened with GST, but our mitigation for GST is to, as a strategy, constantly look at how we can replace rooms below 7.5 to over 7.5. So, what was the ARR in Q1? 6.3 something? So, our ARR in Q1 was 6.3. So, what Neil is saying is that he is going to focus on increasing ARR. So, let's assume a 5-6% improvement in Q2. In winter, that will go up another 10%, hopefully. So what you're going to see is more and more rooms being sold at over 7.5, so the GST impact comes down. Number two is, and this is very significant for us, is the amount of money we have spent in renovation. It's an enormous sum. And that will drop dramatically next year, dramatically. So what should the EBITDA margin, net EBITDA margin be next year on a consolidated basis? Will not be visible because we will hopefully, you know, next year demerge. But if I looked at it, it should be 50%. Because our performing hotels EBITDA margin is already, you know, at the hotel level in the late 50s. As revenue grows, the below-the-line expenses get distributed over larger revenue. And GST, of course, hopefully will reduce. And renovation will drop dramatically. So there is no reason why we should not, and I'm saying it in front of Neil and putting pressure on him and Saurabh, but there is no reason why EBITDA margins net should be less than 50%. And this is my statement. You will have to see what happens in Q2 and going on into Q3. And remark you, Q2 will also have a lot of renovation expense.
But and let me just top it up. See, I mean, you've seen the trend that our renovation is also tapering. So that will help. Our ARR will help clearly. Our GST impact broadly, I would say, you could still say this is ballpark in the range of 2% of a net of our overall revenue. But banking on a much stronger H2 of the year, I also agree that 50% is not something that's too difficult to achieve.
And that's for fiscal 28.
Yeah.
Or 27
will not be 47, it will be better. But fiscal 28, if we don't do 50, then we have underperformed.
Got it. Thank you very much. All the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Dikshi with InCred Research. Please go ahead.
Thank you for taking the question. My first question is regarding the number of rooms that we've added this quarter for management fees. The net addition seems only to be 134 rooms, whereas we've mentioned that we've opened 334 rooms. So, have any hotels management contract ended, and how do we see these going forward? Are the 2,000 room addition on management contracts gross, or will it be net addition?
Just to get it right, just to rephrase what you're saying, are you so first of all, we've added 1,300 rooms from last quarter to this quarter, last as in Q1 to this Q1, so in 1 year, year-on-year. Did you get that?
Yeah. I am asking about Q4 to Q1.
Okay, so what has happened is one contract we have terminated mutually, which is in Tarudhan Valley, which was a 70-room resort. Then there was a hotel called Nestor Hotel, which we inherited from Keys, which was giving us no fees, but it was in the portfolio, and we have in fact taken it to NCLT now.
Yes.
We have taken it to NCLT, so it was not reflecting in the fee income, but it was reflecting in the inventory. Are you getting me?
Okay.
So between these two, we removed 70 rooms from Tarudhan Valley and 130 rooms from Nestor, which is 200 rooms, but the income loss was only from Tarudhan. It was not from Nestor, because Nestor was a, well, we were not even charging fees. It was just, had a brand, the Keys brand, and we were trying to resolve the payment they owed to Keys when we acquired it. So you can imagine, we acquired it in 2019 and they owe a large amount of money to Keys. So this was just think of it as just notional. The only upside is that if they pay the old fees which they owed Keys, it is fairly substantial, and if we get it, well and good. But it has had no impact in our revenue perspective. The impact has been with the 70 rooms of Tarudhan Valley. By the way, just to alert everybody, we are very clear. We are signing lots of hotels. There will be cases where we will terminate our agreements because of a lack of adherence to our brand standards. And so therefore, what one must look at, as you have rightly looked at, is net store addition, net room addition. As we grow more aggressively, there will be a drop due to friction in managed hotels. There will be some losses, but as far as possible, obviously, it will be not material compared to the number of hotels rooms we open.
Thank you. My next question is regarding the ADR growth that we've seen for the quarter. There has only been a growth in Keys portfolio. There has not been growth in Lemon Tree portfolio, Lemon Tree Premier portfolio, or Red Fox. How do we see this moving for the next 2 years?
So the only drop, well, there has been a small growth in ARR of about 2.5-3%, if I remember right. The main reason for this is that we have been pushing the retail segment, and we are obviously dropping prices somewhat in order to increase occupancy, and that was specifically based on the conditions of Q1, which is where we found, see, we are not so affected by inbound travel. Okay, what we are affected by is large corporates who are our customers and their managers and, deputy general managers who travel, who then stay with us. Now, large corporates took a decision, and we spoke to a number of those CEOs actually, that they would tighten their belts because of uncertainty in Q1. I mean, we know this because a few of them actually we have spoken to. And that was because of, you see, for a large corporate, travel is discretionary at some level. So they were saying, some of them in fact even told me directly that they've asked their people to do Zoom calls rather than go on actual travel. So that was the impact, but the interesting thing is that we are seeing that coming back in Q2. Q1, as I said, was an aberration. I still feel and maintain we could have done better. But in Q2, I think all these issues will be resolved and we will go back to the expected level of improvement in revenue through a mix of ARR and a more balanced mix of ARR and occupancy.
Have we completed any renovations for Red Fox or Lemon Tree Premier where we've seen a good ARR growth?
Well, look at Delhi. It is the only portfolio except for, one reason why you are seeing that Red Fox by Lemon Tree had a negative ARR growth in Q1 versus Q1 previous year was we rebranded the Red Fox Delhi Airport into the Lemon Tree Delhi Airport. Okay, but it is the last bit of renovation is left. I think in the entire portfolio of 487 rooms, 37 rooms are balanced, which are currently under renovation. And the sad thing is both the hotels are doing over 90% occupancy. So there is a real loss of revenue. But we will open this by the end of Q2. And these two hotels, Delhi, are the fully renovated, actually fully renovated hotels. And now Hyderabad, high-tech city, is also fully renovated. So these are showing, a good improvement in spite of market conditions not necessarily being conducive. And wherever we have renovated, we see that, customer response is good. So now local market conditions may be X, Y, Z, but we are confident that this renovation is going to lead to a significant improvement in RevPAR as it plays out by the end of this year.
Okay. Thank you for taking the question.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Vineet Agarwal with Bajaj Alternates. Please go ahead.
Hello. Yeah. Thank you. And thank you for the opportunity. Just a couple of questions. One is, with three international destinations now operational, which is Nepal, Bhutan and Dubai, and fresh Nepal signings this quarter, what's the medium-term ambitions for international contribution to network revenue and fees? And are further overseas market under evaluation?
So we are interested in markets which are preferably 3 hours flight from us, where lots of Indians travel, because it is time for us to now monetize our loyalty program and the fact that in our existing markets in India, 45% of our demand is repeat. One opportunity which is very clear is of this 45% demand, only half is in our loyalty program, which still accounts for 2.5 million members. And we find a lot of them in our internal surveys and conversations with them travel internationally short hops. So what are the markets where Indians go? The biggest and best market is UAE. You'll be surprised to know that in spite of war, the Indian movement to UAE was not significantly affected. Other than a few days, it is still very much there. Then the next market is Nepal, where we are already expanding significantly. Then Thailand, specifically Bangkok and Phuket. South of India, there is not so much Sri Lanka, but certainly Maldives. So when we look at this, there are lots of Indians traveling here. And many of them are 20 members. So it begs the question that, if 32 million Indians traveled overseas last year, over 12 million traveled to these three markets I spoke about. Actually, it's probably a larger number. This is an old number I have. So it is, in my opinion, a very simple thing. Go where your customers go. Marriott did that in the 50s and 60s. So did Hilton. So did other international brands. They always went where their customers who were familiar and comfortable and liked their brands, they went there. And there is no reason why Indian brands should not also go international, in my opinion, because we now have the numbers, which is Indians traveling overseas, and why should we not capture that share of the wallet?
Thank you. And the second question is, what is the incremental RevPAR uplift you are expecting once the renovation of remaining keys are also complete?
So I would not say RevPAR uplift. I would say simply that we have a simple target. Keys should generate 6.5 as per Key EBITDA. And if Key is, has an EBITDA margin of 50% when it's stable, it means 13 lakhs to 14 lakhs per room. So that's what we want. We want a revenue of about 150 to 120 crores from Keys and a 60 crore EBITDA.
Understood. Thank you so much and all the best for future quarters. Thank you.
Thanks, Vineet.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Jinesh Joshi with PL Capital. Please go ahead.
thanks for the opportunity. Sir, I just wanted one small clarification from your side. I think our total fee income, which is third party plus Fleur, it is mentioned at about 45 crores in the presentation. However, if I look at our pro forma financials, the figure mentioned over there is about 66 crores. So if you can please first clarify on this part.
Yeah, so that's not fees. In the pro forma, we still have two leased hotels in Lemon Tree, which are not being transferred to Fleur because their balance lease terms are maybe 6-7 years. And there is a restriction in our lease agreement that we would not be able to assign it to any other company. So what what you are seeing is a 20 crore, I guess, revenue from them?
Yeah, EBITDA.
EBITDA, yeah.
Understood.
Does that answer your question?
Yes, sir, pretty much. Second observation as well. So if I look at our network and franchised revenue, the number that we have reported in the presentation, I think the growth is about 29%, whereas for our owned hotels, that growth figure is at about 6%. So just wanted to check this higher growth number is simply due to addition of the managed rooms that we have seen on a YY basis, or does this also have some kind of an impact whereby our network revenue from the managed side is doing slightly better than our own hotels? So if you can just maybe clarify on this part. And lastly, just one short follow-up, what will be our CAPEX for 27 and 28?
So there were many questions. Same store revenue growth for managed portfolio was in the late double digit, single digits, I think it was 9-10%. Okay. One of the reasons is some of the hotels which we opened last year were not stable in the managed portfolio. So they stabilized this year. So on a low base, there was a higher impact of revenue. Okay. Number two is new hotels that we opened also added to the revenue of the managed portfolio. And what that meant was that while they are not performing at full revenue per fee capacity because they are still new and will take a year or more to stabilize, they are also incrementally adding to the fee income. So if you do a sum of the parts, same store, 9-10%, new hotels, additional, and that's what led to this growth. In fact, if what we are saying is correct, then as we add more and more hotels, which is the catch-up of what we signed in the last 3 years, then the rate of growth of fee income will be enormous. And that is something I would recommend you track. That is the first answer. The what was the other question you asked?
CAPEX figures for FY 27 and 28, if you can just maybe highlight that.
This year it is Okay, we'll call you and tell you. I think Nipun says he'll give you the exact details because we have to search for these numbers. But what I can say is that next year onwards, CAPEX, OPEX and CAPEX in renovation will meander towards 1% of revenue from what it was in the past 3 years.
Okay, sir. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Vaibhav Mule with Haitong Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. My first question again was on the renovation. I wanted to delve a bit more on the timelines. I think last time we met on the call, you had said that tentative timeline of October for completing the overall renovation. Right. Even almost 75% of the inventory is now renovated. What is the revised guidance on completing the overall renovation exercise? And related to that, in this quarter, yes.
Yeah, so it's like this. We did 300 rooms in Q1. We think we'll do about the same number or a little more this quarter. So now what we do, let me just make one, give one clarification. Renovation is of three types. There is high-value renovation, which is 10, 12 lakhs a key. Those are in high-value locations where we feel we will be able to improve both EBIT, both ARR and occupancy, like Lemon Tree, like Keys Whitefield or Pimpri, Keys Pimpri. And those are what I would say, large renovations. Those are more or less completely over, except for Lemon Tree, old Red Fox, now Lemon Tree Delhi, and a little bit in Electronic City in Bangalore, which is being rebranded as a Lemon Tree Premier. And where else do we have high? And Red Fox, Red Fox Hyderabad, which will also be rebranded as a Lemon Tree Hotel when it's complete in October. The other renovations are in the nature of much smaller interventions, and in fact, in some cases, are basic refurbishments. So Keys Cochin, Keys Visakhapatnam, Keys Trivandrum will go through a refurb, of which I think about one-third or one-half is over. But those are 2.5-3 lakhs per room. So when we say we are renovating 300 rooms and 600-700 rooms in H1 this year, those are high-value renovations. What will flow into Q3 and Q4 will be more in the nature of refurbs and quicker turnaround. So a refurb can take as little as a week and at most a month. And if I refurb 800 rooms in Q2, in Q3 and Q4, the cost could be much less than the renovation of 300 rooms. So it's a mix-and-match strategy because we are very careful and mindful of the money we spend in each hotel based on the earning capacity that we expect from the incremental investment. As far as Lemon Tree goes, we will have finished the full renovation of the main hotels and refurbishment of a lot of Keys and other hotels that needed intervention in FY 2027. In FY 2028, we will revert to norm, which is really no renovations, but a continuing thing on refurb. Refurb can happen when you need to replace the curtains, you need to redo the upholstery, you need to improve some lighting somewhere, and these are minor costs, which is why I said, typically, we spend 1%, 1.2% of our revenue in renovation, and we will revert to norm from next year. There may be a little bit of stuff left here and there, but by and large, the entire portfolio will be new by next year.
Understood. Just related to this, in Q1, we have seen almost 350 basis points impact on margins on account of GST as well as SAR provision. But margin decline has been around 100 basis points. I'm presuming that part of this is because of lower OpEx part of the renovation in the P&L, which has partly offset the overall impact. Can you elaborate a bit more on how much of this offset was because of the operating leverage and because of the renovation? And related to what you said on the renovation, can we expect improved margin trajectory because of lower renovation in H2?
So, you know, we spent about 9.8 crores in renovation in Q1, okay, which is about 2.25-2.3% of revenue. So that was then the total spend. Now, normally what would we have spent? Normally we would have spent 3 crores, which is 1% or 1.2%. It varies, but it is not material. So basically the incremental spend was about 6 crores this year. Next year that will disappear. So what we expect is there are four or five impacts which have played out. One was one-off of property tax, ex gratia last year. There was now the ongoing impact of GST, which we are hoping to ameliorate. There was the massive impact of renovation in the last 3 years. All these will disappear except for GST. And GST has to be tackled from a pricing perspective, and we are very cognizant of that. So if you ask me, our EBITDA margin versus last year deteriorated by 1 percentage point on revenue, but our spend in renovation was 2.25%. And if you see the waterfall change, it was an incremental 5 crores over last year. Oh, sorry, a reduction in 5 crores over last year. Last year we spent 15 crores in renovation. So this renovation is now tapering off. So EBITDA margins should recover. And next year in summer, it should be definitely 2-2.5% higher than what it is this year. And overlay that winter EBITDA margins are significantly higher because of season, pricing, demand, etc. And that's where you can come to the average of at least 50% net EBITDA margin, which is our expectation next year. In fact, you should see elements of it even in Q2 and H2 this year.
Understood. Just lastly, if I may add on the 2,500 piece potential acquisition that we are planning, given this will be partly operational portfolio and partly greenfield, with 960 crores being infused by Warburg, we already have around 1,200 crores of debt on the book. Assuming mid to upper mid scale sort of a portfolio, will that increase our debt levels to north of 2,000 crores for a temporary period at the time of acquisition? And does that take your net debt to EBITDA north of 3x? Is that a correct assumption?
No, it is incorrect. I'll tell you why. Suppose I'm building a 500 crore rupee hotel. Okay? And let's assume I take 3.5 years to build it. The immediate payment, typically, depending on the land value, can be 20-30% of this 500, which means I will immediately pay 100-150 crores to acquire the land. Now, of the balance 350 crores, the way the spend goes is in the first year you spend only 15% of that because it's towards digging up a basement and making your shell, which is a cold shell and it's a low cost. Second year, another 25-30% goes. It is only in the last year, specifically in the last 9 months, that you spend up to 30-35% of the project cost, because that is in finishing and in equipment orders. So let's make a number. I'm building a 100 crore hotel. I pay 20 crores plus 10. I spend 30 crores this year. I spend 20 crores next year, 25 crores. And then I spend 40-50 crores in the last year. Now, how does this money get spent? Assuming 1:1 debt equity, which is our general perspective, the first 50 crores goes from our pocket and takes care of the first 2 years or 2.5 years. In the last year is when you technically require debt, but you have also cash flows. So we try and match our free cash with that requirement. So really debt to equity is not what we look at as much as debt to EBITDA. So we use operating EBITDA, known EBITDA, to really look at debt for new hotels rather than fund new hotels based on a presumed EBITDA. So that is a standard risk mitigation practice that Lemon Tree has had from the beginning. Do I make sense to you?
Yes, sir. That is clear. Thank you for your detailed answers and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Rajiv Bharti with Nuvama. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. On the renovation side, put together we are spending close to 450 odd crores, and like you have narrated earlier.
Including CapEx.
Yeah, and this will be close to 2 years break even. That means, let's say after 2 years of stabilization, you will add close to 450 crores in terms of the absolute revenue, right? On the top line, right?
Yeah, maybe not so, because the operating leverage of incremental revenue is higher, but we target a 50% of spend as EBITDA margin EBITDA improvement.
Okay, so I'm just seeing, let's say, from Q1 of FY26 to Q1 of FY27, we have seen close to 28-29 crores kind of a delta. Ideally, the capex which you have done from pre-FY25 or including FY25 close to 230 odd crores, if I'm not wrong, that should have, let's say, a quarter of that should have flown through, or maybe let's say 20%, because you're saying operating leverage part of that should have flown through, even if, let's say, everything remains stable and, you know, a delta on let's say the sector's ARR growth should be riding on top of that. Isn't that how it should have been?
Yeah, absolutely right. And what you have to look at is where has that spend happened each year, in which hotel, that's what we track, and how has that hotel performed 2 years later. So for example, we spent 11 crores in the in upgrading Keys Pimpri. I'm just giving you an example. So how is Keys Pimpri's delta in EBITDA before and after that spend? That's what we look at. So it's not
that.
Sorry?
No, so the Pimpri example is one which has been highlighted, which we take it. But any other case study which
yes,
we have?
Lemon Tree Premier Delhi, which has been fully renovated. Have a look at that. Nipun, will you share some numbers with him on a phone call? So what are the fully renovated hotels? Now, this year it is now finally Lemon Tree Premier Hyderabad, Lemon Tree Premier Delhi. By end of this quarter, it will be Lemon Tree Hotel Delhi. There will be Lemon Keys Whitefield. These are the high impact investments, okay? So like Lemon Tree Delhi, both the two hotels will have accounted for 50 crores of renovation expense. So has the EBITDA gone up by 25 crores is the question. So those kind of numbers we'll be happy. Actually, what you need to see here is the breakdown of where the money has been spent and what is the incremental EBITDA once it has stabilized and reopened. I mean, opened as a renovated hotel, and those numbers are very visible.
Yeah, so the request is that, is it possible to, let's say, put more case studies like you have shared with the Pimpri one?
Well, in the next investor presentation, why don't you take Lemon Tree Premier Hyderabad, Lemon Tree Hotel Delhi, wherever we spend large amounts of money. I think we spent 35 crores in Hyderabad, 50 crores in Delhi, that's 85, which is over 20% of our total spend. Have a look at that. Show it. Start showing more and more hotels. I think you want more transparency, we'll give it to you.
Sure. That's all from my side. Thank you. All the best.
Thank you. Discuss
Thank
with
you.
Me, I'll show you the format.
Our next question comes from the line of Subhi Gupta with Trinetra Asset Managers. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, sir. Am I audible?
Very audible, ma'am.
Yeah, hi. So most of my questions have been answered. Just one question. The investments that we're doing on the technology side, what kind of contribution should we expect towards bookings from this?
So investment in technology is three. One is impossible to quantify in terms of return on investment, which is improvement in efficiency, okay, which is an ongoing process. Just to give context to everybody, Lemon Tree, I must confess, in the first 15 years of its operations, had a bunch of its technology stack. The architecture was very, I should say, archaic. We used to work with Excel spreadsheets. We had a small revenue management system. We had a multiple set of vendors providing property management system, point of sale system, so on and so forth. Just after COVID, I think Kapil decided to put a ERP in place. Is that correct, Kapil?
Yes.
So the first 1.5 years went into ERP. And implementation of that itself was quite a nightmare. Then we said, now we need to look at Lemon Tree as it's growing, because at that point we were accelerating our signed contracts, which is 2024 when we signed 3,500 rooms. So what do we need to be far more efficient as a operating company? Then number two, where can we capture clear upsides through revenue management, through better sales? How do we integrate with and how do we use providers like Salesforce, which we felt we could finally afford? And what are the other steps like loyalty program, our website, so on and so forth, which we needed to upgrade? Now those took, that was for last 2.5 years, that's what we've been doing. Some of them have hit MVP 2, some have hit MVP 1. And what we have done is started rolling them off across our owned portfolio, because we didn't need to ask any owner for approval for it. And I can say broadly that certain targets have been met. Certain are still work in progress. Now we've got Karthikey on board, who was the Chief Digital and Technology Officer of Coca-Cola. He now runs our technology vertical. He has been studying everything in place, and we are looking for further improvements in our offerings. But right now it is still very much an in-house thing. our intention is once we have rolled it out to our satisfaction within our existing portfolio, then we will look at the managed portfolio and offer them these services. And in our new contracts with the managed hotels, we have specifically said that technology upgrades and so on will be at their cost and will be linked to our brand standards. So to summarize, we are recognizing these investments, although we are OPEXing it mostly. They are also investments in terms of monetization opportunities with our brand, and this is something that will play out over the next, my best guess is next 2 years. And then I think we'll be able to actually give ROIs once we export it to third-party hotels.
Thank you so much, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Nikhil Poptani with Kizuna Wealth. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. Thank you for giving me the opportunity. So my first question is that our non-negotiated room, as we've already mentioned that we try to fill in with the retail. So can we expect the negotiated rooms to go up back in the mix? And how much would be the pricing impact for that if our negotiated room goes back, the mix goes up back? That is my first question.
Okay. Hi, Nikhil. So definitely, yes. I guess when we, like I said, as we achieve more balance, which is already visible in July and August, you can certainly see in the next presentation, you will potentially notice a better balance of negotiated and non-negotiated business. No doubt about it. It will be difficult for me to comment, quite speculative, depending on the seasonality, the rate and the ARR for different segments differ. But I can tell you this for sure, that the balance between retail or negotiated and non-negotiated will be better Q2 onwards.
Yes, sir. My second question is that on an average that we are going to add 2,000 rooms in coming 5 years, 4 years from 2026, 2027, 2028, 2030. So when we are targeting 50% EBITDA margins, so when the fixed cost comes up, won't that impact our margin a little bit?
No, I didn't get you. You said...
I'll answer this.
Yeah.
Let me explain a bit. How does net EBITDA come? Net EBITDA comes hotel level, less below-the-line expenses. As our revenue grow, the below-the-line expenses, which do not grow significantly, we made all the investments we need in technology and in people. They will not grow at the rate of growth of revenue. So if below the line expenses, which is fundamentally corporate expenses as a percentage of sales, will keep reducing as a percentage of sales. When we say that, you know, we are targeting in Lemon Tree to ultimately have EBITDA margin of 75% to 80%, it means really we are saying we will double our management fee income and our below the line expenses, which is basically talent and technology, as a percentage of revenue will then drop to 20-25%. Now, with growth, what happens is fixed costs get distributed and margins expand. Variable cost is something we are very focused on. It is something we constantly look at seeing how we can reduce it. And typically in our company, our hotel expenses, half are variable and half are fixed. So the way we look at it is that variable costs will grow at the rate of growth of occupancy and fixed costs will grow at the rate of inflation. And that is what we try to achieve, which is why we said next year if our revenue grows X, whatever that X is, and I don't want to give guidance there, and I'm talking now consolidated and not disaggregated, then the EBITDA margins expanding to 50% is not a big deal. Plus, please don't look at Q1. Q1 is an aberration. It is the entire year. That last year, for example, I think we did 49% EBITDA margins. So what am I saying? I'm saying basically that if our renovation expenses drop by 1% of revenue, our EBITDA margins will be 50%. And I would urge you to look at slide, which is that slide on EXOs, renovation expenses.
20.
Please look at slide 20. If in FY26 we did 49% of EBITDA margin, with a 5.8% impact due to GST, technology and renovation. We are saying GST will increase to 2%, which it will. Technology will increase by 50% from 0.6 to 0.9. However, renovation will drop. So if you look at the sum of the parts, there is a 1% reduction in expenses and therefore 49 should logically go to 50. Is
okay,
that clear?
Yes, yes. Now, so my other question is like, on the line, so that if we are targeting, like, let's say, increasing the our average room rate to 7,500 plus, so what would be, like, the timeline to achieve that? Like, would it take 1 year, 2 years, 3 years?
No, it won't. So let me explain. GST applies for that percentage, the input credit or the input credit we lose is the percentage of rooms that we sell below 7.5. So for example, our company average was 52% below 7.5 and 48% above 7.5. Our intent is not that we will be able to get rid of all the rooms will not go to 7.5. Our intent is that this percentage should ramp up so that a larger and larger percentage of rooms are sold at over 7.5. Okay, for example, Red Fox East Delhi will never charge 7.5. It will never happen. Red Fox Jaipur will never charge 7.5. So there are hotels where, based on their brand positioning, their location and the market they serve, they will be in the 3, 4, 5,000 range. But there are plenty of hotels we feel we can reprice in demand-dense markets where a large amount of our revenue comes, and that is where the GST impact will progressively reduce, which again, I refer you to the slide 20. We are saying basically 2% will drop to 1.7 and continue to drop, but there will never be a situation where it will be zero. Yeah.
Yes, sir. So the dilution impact will get lower and lower as we increase as our mix for the 7,500 room grows up.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yep. For example, all the new Aurikas that we are opening will all be over 7.5. Somebody raised the question that Aurika Bombay. Aurika Bombay today has less than 5% GST impact. We'll make it zero by next year. Lemon Tree Premier Bombay has, I think, about 10-12%. We'll make it 3-4% by next year. So there are certain markets, LTP Hyderabad, 7-8% will make it zero. So when we look at these markets like LTP Delhi, now it's a Pareto principle. These account for larger inventory with much higher revenue per room. And as we keep increasing the rates here, the GST will progressively reduce. So please look at it as a weighted average.
Yes, sir. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Rahul Majetia with Stratton Oakmont. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking my question. So with our accelerated asset-light expansion into Tier 2 and Tier 3 markets, what's our situation regarding regional MICE expansion? So local banqueting, regional MICE, have we restructured our central sales and advertising and promotion teams to capture this demand, or is this burden purely falling on the franchisee partners? And are we expected to extract a higher marketing or franchise fee to fund some national level brand campaigns for these Lemon Tree brands which are managed by third party?
Great, Rahul, I'll answer that. So for your, let's say, first question, we have actually, let's say, modified a sales structure to be able to bring more focus, better relationships, and a greater, let's say, execution strength to each segment. When I say segment, I mean airlines is the segment, MICE and weddings is the segment, and travel trade is a segment. And therefore, as look at our sales structure as led by segments in the headquarters, aka airlines, MICE and weddings and travel trade, and in the geographies as well, through our regional sales structure which is classified into three clusters, north and east, south and west. As we become larger and deeper penetrated into India, the two learnings that we've taken in from the past. First, when we created the initial Lemon Tree model didn't have too much space for banquets. As India has grown and as we have grown, we've learned that weddings and banquet revenue is a reasonable source of revenue. While we'll still continue to be in the range of 75-25 room revenue versus others, banqueting and harnessing these local MICE opportunities is a big revenue source. And hence, looking at that and the general evolution of our chain in that direction, we have, to your point, structured or restructured our central sales team to cater to that. The leaders for these segments, travel trade, MICE, weddings, airlines, are also in place now. So as we execute the second half of the year, we believe that we do expect more output from these segmental opportunities that so far we've been, let's say, you know, mild in executing. To your second question, will we charge more for national campaigns? Not right now. See, listen, we already at this point of time have a fee structure which is based on base fee and sales and marketing fees. What we certainly do at this point of time is have a very clear marketing calendar that speaks to two aspects. One, the seasonality aspect, and the other, themes for the quarter. For example, the theme for that we've been, let's say, promoting very aggressively in Q1 and part of Q2 is weddings and celebration. And that, I guess, is in the ambit of driving overall, let's say, messages for all our hotels, including third-party owned and our own. So no, we don't want to charge what is anything additional to what we are charging already to our third-party part owners.
That'll be all from my side. All the best from the coming quarters.
Thanks.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Shivam Singh with Capital Arch. Please go ahead. Shivam, you are not clearly audible.
Not very clear.
Am I audible now, sir?
Right now.
So I wanted to ask you, sir, why are we not getting into an airline catering business where we can maximize our F&B revenue or something like that?
A great question, Shivam. I'll answer it. In my way, Padu, please help me if you want to come in as well. I think the simple answer, Shivam, is just focus and focusing on our strengths. Catering, you know, our business model is largely driven on maximizing room revenue, and therefore F&B is a relatively smaller part of the business. We and therefore our the strength of our business model is in driving rooms and associated business. Catering, while it could be an exciting business, but we believe we'll keep our focus at this point of time in penetrating deeper into India. And like we always said in Lemon Tree, you know, what we stand for is a good sleep, is a good shower, is a good Wi-Fi, and good breakfast for our guests who saved us across the network.
And so my second question was regarding, sir, what portion of our business is related to an OTA?
Yeah, late 30s, mid 30s to late 30s. It depends on, sometimes it depends on the tactic that we might deploy on that month or quarter. But broadly speaking, it will be in the mid 30s.
So when we are spending so much on tech, why not go for it, sir? Like expand our own marketing and getting bookings directly instead of going through an OTA.
Oh, 100%. I think that is also a very, let's say, oft-executed playbook, Shivam, where hotels generally tend to drive a higher portion of direct through on the basis of their website and loyalty, which is our plan as well. So not denying that at all. As we get better in our loyalty program convert better on our website, this is bound to happen. In fact, in Q1, as we deployed a stronger retail, let's say, plan, our proportion of business from our direct channels also increased.
So I had another small question. So what was the enterprise value at which we transferred all the hotels to Fleur?
The enterprise value is evident in the fact that today we own 59% of Fleur and Warburg owns 41. When we transfer everything, we will be 74 and they will be 26. So you can work back from.
Sir, I have worked on that, sir. So 960 that they will be investing at a later point of stage, will the valuation remain the same or will that be prevalent to the market scenario at that point of time?
It is a valuation which is fixed at, I think, $1 billion.
Yes, yes.
So they are investing in Fleur at $1 billion.
Okay, sir.
So they are giving $100 million for 10% primary.
Okay, sir. So the post holding would be 36% would be Warburg and the remaining would be with us, right?
No. The demerger scheme envisages the following. Initially, before they have put in this money, we own 74, they own 26. Of the 74, we will distribute 33 to Lemon Tree shareholders. That will lead to an automatic delisting. Are you with me?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I am.
And we will then be 41, shareholders will be 33, and Warburg will be 26. Now, somewhere before this, Warburg will put in $100 million and their stake will go from 26 on 100 to 26 on 110 because that additional 960 crores will give them 10 more shares. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Then the shareholding becomes Lemon Tree is 41 on 110,
yes,
Warburg is 36 on 110 and Lemon Tree shareholders are 33 on 110.
Okay, sir. That is really helpful to know, sir. And sir,
pleasure.
Regarding our growth, when do we see an exponential growth starting? Because in the last 5 quarters, we haven't been growing at the pace which we were confident of doing at that point of time. So do we see a tipping point after which we start the acceleration again?
So see, growth, when you say growth, what growth do you mean? Fleur was not a going concern once Aurika Bombay opened. The capital that was deployed by APG was an agreed to number and that capital was fully deployed once Aurika Bombay opened. No further capital was deployed either by Lemon Tree or APG in Fleur. So Fleur after that could have only grown at the rate of its free cash flow. To solve for that and to take advantage of what we felt were opportunities, Warburg bought out APG and then is now putting in additional capital. That will lead to a significant growth spurt, which I think we have already said we are in active discussion and hopefully 2,500 rooms. Whether operating or under development will come into our portfolio. So let me give you some numbers. We currently operate a shade under 6,000 rooms. We are building 850 to 900 rooms. If we acquire these 2,500 rooms, then we are talking 3,300 rooms, which will be a mix of operating assets and some assets that will open over the next three and a half years. So basically we are saying Fleur will increase by over 50% in rooms by FY 30, mota mota, but much more in revenue because the incremental rooms that are being bought are all Aurikas other than some operating assets. So you can do your math backwards. Once we start making announcements, it's easy to do the math backwards because we are actually giving you EBITDA per room for different brands in our quarterly presentations and annual presentations. So all you have to say is how many new Aurikas are opening. This is the average Aurika EBITDA per room into this. This is the Lemon Tree Premiers and so on. So that is one aspect of growth and I am personally very bullish on it, which is why I am staying on as an executive director in Fleur for the next 5 years. As far as Lemon Tree goes, it is now reinventing itself as an asset-light player at scale. We did not feel we could do this split earlier. Lemon Tree had to demonstrate a high growth in fee income and a large amount of fee income for it to be an asset-light player in India because there is at present no asset-light player of scale in India in the hotel space. So in that sense, we are new and we hope the market over the next 6 quarters, we'll understand what Lemon Tree can generate as fee income and how exciting that is and the rate of growth, and appropriately decide what it is worth.
Absolutely, sir. That was a really nice explanation. Thank you so much for it.
My pleasure.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Arjavi Marwaha with Marzlin. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the conference call for taking my question. I just had a simple question. What kind of progress have you made towards the demerger in the last quarter? And when can we expect the demerger between the Flora and Lemon Tree demerger, which you just explained in the last question?
Kapil will answer that. Obviously, we don't demerge. Yeah, so as you know, as we discussed in the last meeting also, that this is at approval stage with the authorities. So currently with the SEBI, post we got the CCI approval and some scrutiny by the stock exchanges. So that is in process as of now, post which the NCLT process filing and meetings and hearings would start. So as we pointed out earlier, that calendar year 27 would be the year when this will be completed, but it's not later part of the year, but the first half of that we should be able to complete this whole demerger exercise and list fewer within that timeline.
So,
you have to keep in mind all these are subject to SEBI, to then shareholder vote, creditors approval, and then NCLT approval. There's a whole process, and after all that, it will still take 1 month, I think, for it to be listed.
Yeah.
So conservatively, since we have very little control over many of these approval processes, you can say it is in the late second half of next year. Would you agree with that, Kapil, with some certainty?
Yeah.
Hopefully.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, thank you. So that would be around 12 months from now, and I guess quarter on quarter we can keep tracking progress. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Vikram Shah with Vikram Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi. Good evening. My question was more towards the quality of some of our rooms. We've had. Because we keep traveling to Rishikesh, to Delhi, and I'm afraid, I hate to say it, but the room quality has deteriorated quite a lot. This is the Lemon Tree Premieres I'm talking about. And, I mean, I don't want to get into the details too much, but I can see a visible quality deterioration, as I said. What are we doing to, renovate or to make these things, better?
Which hotels are you talking about specifically?
Lemon Tree Premier next to the Delhi airport, and then there was the Lemon Tree in Tapovan.
Well, I'm surprised to hear that, because the Lemon Tree score has gone to 4.6 on 5 after renovation. So I don't know which room you stayed in and what happened, but our general customer feedback is fantastic and our rate has gone up significantly, and so has occupancy. I'd like to know which room you stayed in. If you can just send the details, we'll get back to you. Rishikesh is a managed portfolio property which needs renovation, and I think it is happening. When is it happening?
So they are planning for later this year and next year.
Okay, so Rishikesh will go through renovation, but that's a managed hotel, so owners have to agree and so on. But I think he's agreed to renovate also. But it would be helpful if you just, Nipun, just take the number.
Sure.
And we'd love to get some inputs from you as to what you found.
Maybe take pictures, etc. Of course, this was just for a constructive, conversation. So I'd be happy to share it.
No problem. Please share.
Appreciate that, Vikram. Yeah. And thanks for bringing it up. We'll come back to you soon.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. We have no further questions, ladies and gentlemen. I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments. Over to you, gentlemen.
Okay. Thank you once again for your interest and support. We'll continue to stay engaged. Please be in touch with our investor relations team for any further details or discussions. And we look forward to interacting with you soon. Thank you.
Thanks. Thanks, guys.
Thank you. On behalf of Lemon Tree Hotels, that concludes this conference. Thank you all for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.